Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I think NATO should have 5%. Yeah. Well, you can't do it at 2. I mean, at 2%, every country, if you're going to have a country in a regular military, you're at 4%. I think they should be, you know, they're in dangerous territory. I think it should be, they can all afford it, but they should be at 5%, not 2%. I'm the one that got them to pay 2%. But a gentleman stood up, a prime minister stood up, and he said to me, sir, could I ask you a question? You're saying we have to pay our bills. If we don't pay our bills, will the United States protect us from Russia? I said, if you don't pay, you mean you're delinquent? He said, yes. He said, if you're delinquent, we will not protect you. I took a lot of heat, although it was somewhat closed door. I took a lot of heat from the media. And you know what happened? The money started pouring in. That's why NATO has money. And the Secretary General said it was the most incredible thing he had ever seen in a negotiation. Now, if I would have said, yes, we will, nobody would have paid. If I would have loved to say, yes, we'll protect you even if you don't pay. But that's not the way life works.
First of all, I don't remember him telling this story very much on the campaign trail. Maybe I missed it. As many hours and hours and hours of Trump as I have watched, I don't remember him telling it. But I'm glad that he's telling that story as a contrast to the lie that Biden repeatedly and Kamala Harris repeatedly told about him, that he said he wouldn't defend NATO. It's not what he said. So frustrating when they kept lying about this. 5% is outrageous. I mean, we spend like 3.4% of our GDP and we're the highest, you know, by far. But getting NATO up to 2%, yeah, he gets credit for that. And that he threatened them that they had, you know, took us for granted. And I don't love threatening that we're not going to defend them, but that's a negotiating tactic that worked. And, you know, they believed enough to invest in it. It turned out to be a really good thing with the Ukraine war. So, you know, credit where credit is due. He repeatedly talked about Hamas and Israel yesterday.
Are you confident there'll be a deal before January 20th, or is that something that's likely to happen?
By the way, this was actually Steve Witkoff, his envoy to negotiating there. But it's still, the question is going to be to Steve Witkoff, but Trump is going to come in at the end.
A deal even at all. We've been hearing this now for the better part of...
I know. I would say...
they better be.
Right. I would say that the president is exasperated. I don't want to talk for him, but look, I don't know anyone who delegates better than President Trump. He gives us a lot of authority to speak on his behalf, and he exhorts us to speak emphatically. And emphatically means... You better do this, because the alternative...
Do you think they're waiting for President Trump to take office?
No, I think they heard him loud and clear. Better get done by the inaugural.
But when you say all hell will
before
be paid...
Before office.
All hell must be paid if they don't release the hostages.
You know what that means, don't you? Well, do I have to define it for you? Look, all
no,
hell will break out. If those hostages aren't back, I don't want to hurt your negotiation. If they're not back by the time I get into office, all hell will break out in the Middle East.
Can you elaborate?
And it will not be good for Hamas, and it will not be good, frankly, for anyone. All hell will break out. I don't have to say anymore, but that's what it is. And they should have given them back a long time. They should have never taken them. There should have never been the attack of October 7th. People forget that. But there was.
So, and which point he reiterated at least two other times in the press conference.
But I tell this, I don't want to hurt the negotiation. If the deal isn't done before I take office, which is now going to be 2 weeks, all hell will break out in the Middle East.
And then...
You know, we do have people that are hostages being held. And I'll just say it again. If this deal's not done with the people representing our nation, by the time I get to office, all hell is going to break out. Thank you very much.
And that was right at the end of the press conference. Okay, so... He is, even before he's president, obviously using negotiation, leverage, threat, coercion, cajoling, all of the above. You know, not ruling off the potential military invasion of Panama or Greenland. It's just absurd stuff, right? But making Canada in the 51st state or whatever. Okay. The only problem with this is what would he actually do if the hostages aren't back? But what President Trump has established himself as, both historically and now, is the credible threat, right? It might sound outrageous, but follow through. It's a parent threatening to spank a kid. If you promise to spank them if they don't do, you know, pick up their stuff off the floor and they don't pick it up, you got to spank them. Period. Every time. You've got to do it. That's the only way that any of these threats or discouragements or forms of deterrence carry any value because, you know, kids learn real fast. Tyrants and dictators and terrorists learn real fast. Well, you know, we can wait till the third threat. You know, that's when it's serious, right? So the only question is, will they be returned? And if they're not, what will actually happen? But give credit where it's due that he is using the leverage and the future office that he holds and setting a date. I mean, look, you know, Obama drew a red line about Syria and then he didn't follow through. Right? You got to follow through. He's drawn the red line. Now you've got to follow through if it doesn't happen. So that stuff is, and by the way, it's kind of buried in that sound clip, but Steve Witkoff, the comment that President Trump delegates and then gives them the authority to do their job and that he can be as strong in the room negotiating as Trump has been, that's really important. That's a very small part of the comments around this, but that's actually a really important thing for effectiveness of the negotiators. And I just, you know, don't want to go without talking about that. Now, of course, there were other things in this press conference yesterday that have made a lot of social media. We'll talk about them in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. If you're on Navyview Boulevard or approaching Garden Street and Pace Boulevard, just remember there's major traffic there at the intersection. Pensacola Police Department is from a chase last night. So South Pace Boulevard is basically a standstill, both northbound and southbound lane. So just be aware of that. I-10, just a minor delay right around the construction zone of Highway 29. But other than that, traffic is rolling smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, you want to get good advice from somebody who's done it a bunch of times so they know what's normal, they know what price you can get realistically, what ambitiously, you know, what might turn out but isn't a guarantee, that kind of stuff. You get that through repetition. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty sell around 200 homes a year, a little bit above that average when it was really easy to sell homes. Just been a little bit low below that in the last 2 years, 175 the last couple of years. But still, that's a lot of houses, a lot of real estate transactions, understanding the market, what people are interested in, how to time it, how to price it, how to stage it, how to photograph it, how to list it, all that stuff. They do it really well. And she just loves meeting people. So if you're not sure, you're in the we're thinking about it stage, give her a call. She loves meeting people, making new friends. Maybe you become a customer. Maybe you don't. Whatever. I've talked to her so many times. Christina just loves meeting people and talking real estate. 723-9158. I have tickets to give away for the Senior Bowl, which is coming up on February the 1st in Mobile. A pair of tickets to the Senior Bowl. Caller number three right now. 437-1620. 437-1620.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Are you rushing to an appointment? Have you been late for an appointment? Hebrews 9:27 says, "It is appointed unto man once to die." Unless Christ returns in our lifetime, we all have an appointment with death that none of us will be late for. Possibly the most remarkable thing about Jesus Christ is that he conquered death. He died, but 3 days later, up from the grave, he arose. It is because of his sinless life, substitutionary death, and resurrection from the grave that he now offers sinners like me and you eternal life in heaven with him. I urge you, don't delay. Confess your sin to him and call upon Christ today so that you are prepared for this appointment.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of Northstone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
As she stared at me through the window, I realized the time we spent in the backyard on her trailer just wasn't fulfilling. We used to have so much fun on the water. I just couldn't crank her up. But Key Marine did. Fun days on the bay are back. Woo! And my Yamaha outboard runs better than ever.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. Key Marine, your Yamaha outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola. Google Key Marine or find them on Facebook.
Hi, my name is Michael Dylan Thompson, candidate for Congress here in my home district. I'm proud to be the only candidate who voters petitioned to be on the ballot. Every other candidate paid over $10,000 to qualify, often using either lobbyist or special interest money. As a born and raised Pensacola native, I will fight for my district. I will fix the insurance crisis created by establishment politicians, and I will protect our brave service members who keep America free. We don't need outsiders bringing Washington, D.C. corruption into Northwest Florida. We need new ideas and fresh leadership to fight for us. As your congressman, I pledge to always put Florida first. There's a critical election on January 28th, and I need your vote. This is our chance to take back our voice and send a clear message to the career politicians. We won't let special interests decide our future. Together, we can restore accountability, protect our values, and secure a stronger future for Northwest Florida. I'm Michael Dylan Thompson, and I'm proud to approve this message.
Paid for by Michael Dylan Thompson for Congress, Republican.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Wake up and smell the coffee, Mrs. Bueller. It's a fool's paradise. He is just leading you down the primrose path.
Said we'd get to the big one. The one, at least the one that got all of the attention yesterday. The one that had people shaking their head, hitting their head on the table, making social media posts and suggesting creative alternatives. I give you the Great Presidential Renaming Commission of Donald J. Trump.
But no, something's going to have to be done. Same thing with Mexico. We have a massive deficit with Mexico, and we help Mexico a lot there. Essentially run by the cartels, and can't let that happen. Mexico's really in trouble, a lot of trouble. Very dangerous place. And we're going to be announcing at a future date pretty soon. We're going to change, because we do most of the work there, and it's ours. We're going to be changing, sort of the opposite of Biden, where he's closing everything up, essentially getting rid of $50 to $60 trillion worth of assets. We're going to be changing the name of the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America, which has a beautiful ring that covers a lot of territory. The Gulf of America, what a beautiful name. And it's appropriate. It's appropriate.
you could easily imagine, with very little imaginative capacity, the minds of liberals exploding all over America when this was happening. And yeah, me too. No, this is the dumbest bleeping idea I've ever heard come out of the man's mouth. The Gulf of America. Stop it! Okay, logically. You cannot be the person who criticizes all of the name changing and then be the person who engages in the name changing. How dare they tear down the monuments? Here, let's tear down a monument. It's completely illogical. There's no way to hold the position. So yes, it's absurd. It's ridiculous. Stop it.
The Gulf of America. What a beautiful name.
But it's very entertaining. And mission accomplished. On social media yesterday, how much conversation was there about anything other than Trump? Right? This is classic, ridiculous, clown, get me attention behavior. And it worked. It absolutely worked. Now, I will say there has been an upshot of this. If you're not on social media, you may not know this. But locals have been circulating an alternative idea. Have you seen this, John?
No, I haven't.
The Gulf of Pensacola, discovered in the 1500s.
Okay, well, I can see it.
By DeLuna, right? Now, actually, I was looking up an old map, and there's actually an old map that says the Great Bay of Mexico. So Gulf, I don't know the history of how it got to be just the Gulf of Mexico, but I mean, just shh. Gulf of America.
America.
Oh my God. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
America. If you're traveling on I-10 eastbound right around the Pine Forest area, you're going to see some traffic backups there just due to construction. No accidents associated with that, but we're also still dealing with the, let's see, what happened last night on the Pensacola Police Department chase that happened at Garden, let's see here, Garden and Palafox.
Pace
Boulevard. We've got traffic just jammed up all in there. My advice, take Barrancas and, you know, get back to where you need to go on Garden Street. Build north and southbound lanes on Pace or just jammed up. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
All right. Thanks so much, John. Somebody says, I have several people calling in and saying, what a great, wonderful, amazing, brilliant. This is why I love him so much. Okay. Simmer down. And then somebody else texts in, if Biden said these things, we'd be talking 25th Amendment. Again, you can't be the person who criticizes the PC renaming of things and then be the person who renames things. You either believe in tradition, good, bad, or ugly, or you don't believe in tradition, good, bad, or ugly. Stop it. This is so absurd. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
You know, Andrew, I think the only reason you're against this wonderful name change...
It's because I hate Trump, because I'm a liberal. Which one?
I think you're on the take. I think the big map industry
there you go.
Has
big
got
map.
You on the take, don't
oh,
they?
Oh, no. No, big map is for this. Renames mean you need to you get to sell new maps. If there
okay,
are
yeah,
even maps for
sense,
sale
yeah.
anymore, I don't know. Yeah, you the big map loves this because, you know, big globe is all in because if it becomes the Gulf of America, everybody's globes are no longer good. They got to buy new globes for the third grade class.
Oh, think of the education contracts alone. This is a multi-
all the textbooks, everything. Oh, it's a job creator.
You know,
it's all it is. It's a job creator.
I'm not doing news anymore. I'm going into the globe industry. all right.
That's probably, you know, Trump has probably been paid off by, you know, the textbook industry because when he annexes Greenland and Canada, you know, new flags, new maps, new textbooks, new license plates. It's all upside.
All upside. Well, my first day in the globe industry is a few days off yet, so I do have some news headlines for you. The Screen Actors Guild is canceling their in-person nominations announcement because of the wildfires that are moving through California right now. The award nominations were set to be announced this morning. They'll be revealed by a press release later today. President Biden says he could have won re-election. He told USA Today yesterday that he thinks he could have defeated Donald Trump. But when asked if he would have had the vigor for a second term, he said, quote, who knows what I'm going to be when I'm 86 years old. And there's still a lot of unanswered questions after a couple of bodies were discovered in the landing gear of a JetBlue passenger plane on Monday overnight. The two male stowaways were found dead on that plane. Apparently, it had made several stops. They still don't know where they got in the landing gear compartment.
Yeah, I know. That's such a weird story. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Somebody's like, my globe still has Rhodesia on it. Yeah, I mean, you know, that's holding out for the olden days. Hey, if you're thinking about that next vehicle, you're trying to decide what you're interested in, or you just want to make sure that you go to a place that sells used cars, good, you'd like almost new, you know, a couple of years old, a couple of thousand miles on them, you know, 20 or 30, 40,000 miles on them, 2-3 years old, in great condition. That's what they focus on at Frontier. Go to Frontier because, like, as a contrast to most used car places, and look, I'm sure there are some good ones out there too. I just know from my experience that buying a used car is often the feeling of, man, I just want to be done with this. I want to get out of here. That kind of icky feeling, hoping you didn't get taken advantage of. And at Frontier, they're designed a different way. They're designed around working with you so you feel good, so that you feel like you got a great value, and they follow up with you afterwards to make sure you're satisfied so that you buy all the rest of the cars and don't have that feeling, that high-pressure, icky, kind of weird feeling that you often get at used car places. So they try to be different. They understand people don't like that, and they want to be something people do like. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. Just to finish up, because I probably won't have any time next hour, the windmill thing, oh, good Lord.
And, you know, you can talk about windmills. They litter our country. They're littered all over our country, like dropping paper, like dropping garbage.
in a field, and that's what happens to them, because in a period of time they turn to garbage. Most expensive energy ever.
Not true. Not true. It's not the most expensive energy ever. It's cheaper than many forms of energy. And you can't bury them. You can bury them. You can't recycle them. You can, to some degree, recycle them. And they're all over the Midwest and West now, by the way.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. Three wind-whipped wildfires are out of control in Los Angeles County, California.
We've lost a significant amount of homes.
Pasadena Fire Chief Chad Augustin.
The fire is spreading so rapidly. By the time our crews pull hose lines and start trying to extinguish a fire, it's three houses down.
Pasadena nursing home residents were evacuated in wheelchairs and hospital beds. A bulldozer in Pacific Palisades cleared cars abandoned by people running from the flames. President-elect Trump meets with Senate Republicans at the Capitol today.
They'll be talking about all the policy he wants to get into one big reconciliation bill, he hopes, including tax policy.
Well, I like one big, beautiful bill, and I always have, I always will. But if two is more certain, it does go a little bit quicker because you can do the immigration stuff early.
Legislation that gets through the reconciliation process is not subject to the filibuster, so it could pass with a simple majority.
Fox's Jessica Rosenthal. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. It is a cold start to the morning right now. Sunshine, though, we've got 30 degrees in Pensacola. Some new information now from PPD on that fatal accident in downtown Pensacola overnight. Spokesman Mike Wood telling us that the officer had not yet initiated a traffic stop when that vehicle crashed into the pole at Pace and Romana. The officer had reportedly made a U-turn and was attempting to catch up to the vehicle when that driver sped up and then crashed. Again, one occupant of the vehicle died at the scene. The other died shortly after the crash at the hospital. The man accused of a gruesome murder of a woman at an apartment complex on Baldridge Drive this week is now in the Escambia County Jail to face charges for her killing. Investigators say Charles Carson Dowdy shot the victim at least seven times, then ran her over twice with her own vehicle as he was fleeing the scene. The sheriff's office says they quickly identified Carson Dowdy as the suspect.
We were able to use, obviously, eyewitness testimony, but we also used some of the technology, license plate readers, to be able to track the car, at least until it got on the interstate. We knew it was heading towards the Mobile area. We knew that they had this guy had connections over in the Mobile-Pritchard area.
Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons, he says they contacted police there, and officers in Spanish Fort found the victim's SUV on the side of the road with a flat tire. He says the suspect initially thought police would help him change the tire, but they slapped the cuffs on him instead. Carson Dowdy now is charged with second-degree murder. He remains in the Escambia County Jail with no bond. The mayor of Century has resigned from office. Luis Gomez Jr. tendered his resignation during a council meeting last night. He cited personal health reasons. Gomez Jr.'s last day will be this Friday. Alicia Johnson will serve as Century's interim mayor. Now, the Escambia Sheriff's Office is changing the look of their cruisers. Sheriff Chip Simmons says this is all about saving money. The two-tone green and white vehicles cost $2,500 more per vehicle. They're now moving to a solid white cruiser with green letters.
We already got one car done. It probably in the next couple of months, you'll see the new cars. Not every car, obviously. We're not going to buy new
cars.
There's
no point in saving money and painting less by repainting and costing money, right?
I mean, that's correct.
And Simmons was on Pensacola's Morning News yesterday. He says this is just one of several measures he's taken to save money and simplify things at his office. The Florida Bureau of Fire, Arson, and Explosives is investigating the cause of a Sunday fire that damaged the New Hope Primitive Baptist Church. That's on Highway 95A in Molino. Escambia Fire Rescue says there was smoke and fire damage throughout the building. ECFR does say the building will be able to be reoccupied after some extensive repairs. Well, a lot of questions still to be answered. This is after two bodies were found in the landing gear of a JetBlue airplane this week. Two male stowaways found in the compartment where the landing gear is housed on that JetBlue plane. It landed in Fort Lauderdale yesterday. morning. It had been in New York and other locations as well.
The individuals who deceased are both males. Beyond that, their identities at this time are unknown. That is one of the questions that detectives are seeking to answer.
That's Kerry Codd from the Broward Sheriff's Office and JetBlue also looking into the situation at 7:35 at News Radio. And John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Brought to you by the Watson Firm, a law firm. If you've been injured in a car accident, you can visit WatsonFirm.com. No accidents to let you know about, but still dealing with the mess that's happened at South Pace Boulevard and Garden Street. So definitely avoid that area if you're going northbound from Barrancas up to Garden. Just please be aware that traffic is at a standstill. So just take Barrancas all the way to Garden Street. I-10 eastbound between Highway 29 and Pine Forest. You can see some delays there just due to construction. But other than that, traffic's looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the...
We actually just got a text in that we have an update on that. Everything's open except between Garden and Barrancas, according to a texter. So,
there you go. That's great. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
All right. Thank you very much, guys. Thank you for that late update as well, Andrew. It's 7:36 at News Radio, and now our Channel 3 forecast.
We will see a mostly sunny sky day today with temperatures staying chilly in the 50s for your highs. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 28 degrees. For Thursday, mostly sunny skies, high near 51. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 40 degrees. For your Friday, we will be a bit warmer with a high near 58 degrees, 80% chance of some showers. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now, 30 degrees in Pensacola, 32 in Milton, 29 in Gulf Breeze. 7:36 at News Radio. One quick clarification. Andrew's update was not late. It was quite punctual. 7:36 at News Radio 92.3. Now our market report.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Honda Motor revealed the company's newest electric vehicles are set to be produced at a multi-billion dollar manufacturing complex in Ohio. The vehicles are the Honda O Saloon and the Honda Zero SUV. Honda said production models based on both prototypes are expected to launch in North America in 2026. President-elect Donald Trump has announced $20 billion foreign investments to build new data centers across the U.S. The first phase of the plan will take place in Texas, Arizona, Oklahoma, Louisiana, Ohio, Illinois, Michigan, and Indiana. Investors are now looking ahead to the ADP private payrolls report and jobless claims data. Both are due out in the next few minutes. Minutes from the Fed's December meeting are slated for release at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Futures are slightly lower. Tuesday, the Dow Industrials lost 178. The NASDAQ down 375. The S&P 500 lost 66. That's your money now.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, Paul Benakis & Associates, now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates, leave the numbers to the experts.
Visit Pensacola is home for all things Pensacola. I'm Darren Schaefer, CEO of Visit Pensacola. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel this week as we discuss what is next for our community.
We'll have a look at all the fun things to do in Pensacola in the new year, including Pensacola Mardi Gras, SBC basketball, and so much more.
Friday at 9, let us show you the way to beach on News Radio 92.3.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
Are you hungry for news that keeps you informed, is local and dependable? Look no further than News Radio Pensacola on 92.3, 95.3, and on AM 1620. We're your trusted source for all the latest happenings in the Emerald Coast. From breaking news to in-depth reports, we've got you covered. Our team of experienced journalists brings you the stories that matter most to our community. Stay connected with local events, weather updates, and traffic reports, ensuring you're always one step ahead. We're News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Early returns on the red light cameras?
Yes. What I would tell you, we will have an update for you next week. But what I'll tell you is there's a lot of people running red lights. That's what I'll tell you. And
surprise you?
No. But there, you'll be surprised when you hear that. Maybe when you hear the number next week. The only reason I wouldn't give it's only about a 5-day sample size, and I don't have. We don't have the, you know, we've got the anecdotal number. We don't have it on paper. I want to go out in the public and say this.
So a big number.
Yes. More than big.
A big number, more than big. Joining us now in studio, we have Mayor D.C. Reeves, City of Pensacola, talking about the red light cameras. A huge number, a Trumpianly huge number, one might say, in light of the dominance of the media over the last day that President-elect Trump has. DC, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Andrew, thanks for having me.
I don't think you're prepared to yet release an official number yet, but again, suffice to say that we know everybody runs red lights and the number is massive.
Correct. And listen, it's not because the current number that we know about right now after a small sample size is top secret. It's that we don't want to just say a number. Okay, mm-hmm. Mayor, what intersection? At what time?
Right.
Those are fair questions that we want to analyze as well. So that's why we're just trying to not get in front of that. But what I can indicate to you is this will be divided up by how many people are running red lights per hour. That's the type of quantity that we're talking about.
Wow.
This is not every few hours someone runs a red light.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it really goes back to the conversations we've had. There's a big misperception here that the critiques of this mechanism of public safety is that there's this false presumption that this is in replace of some other competent enforcement
right.
at this point.
That's
right?
A great way to put it. Yeah.
Meaning, and we don't have the resources to put human beings 24 hours a day at every one of these intersections. And the irony of another critique is that,
Just pause there because this is an important point. The people who are criticizing the red light cameras seem to want to pretend as if red light enforcement at these traffic intersections is already capable, happening, and being done, and we're going to this instead. No, enforcement of red light running in these intersections is currently zero because these intersections are impossible to police in a legal way. This allows us a way to start policing, and I love the point you made yesterday, that it's not just to start policing, but in the time when we're just doing warnings, it's literally just observing, so we gather data on what is happening and has been happening for years. We just didn't know how to quantify it.
Yeah, the only substantive leverage, so to speak, that an argument critiquing this has is, hey, behind that curtain over here is this false, silent assumption that we're doing it sufficiently right now. But see, once you take that away and say, no, right now, if you go to 9th and Bayou, before January 1st, or you go to 9th and Airport before January 1st, we have no enforcement ability, and we have people running red lights all the time.
Right.
And so, you know.
And for people who haven't heard us talk about this or heard me talk about this with Tommy Leiter, and I mean, this is a longstanding conversation, it's because of the requirements of being able to prove that somebody was past the red line when the light turned red, that you are able to see all of the elements of that and position a car effectively in order to actually apprehend that person
Correct.
And issue the ticket. It's just not possible. That's the problem. By the way, this is going to be a 1-hour discussion, not just about this topic, but about any topic you want. Text me your questions for the mayor. This is a town hall radio town hall version of our normal interview. We're going to go till 8:30 with this. 437-1620. No topic is off the table. If you want to ask him something, I'll ask him, and then you know he'll talk about it. But we had two we definitely wanted to talk about a little bit in the beginning, which is the red light cameras and then, of course, street safety after the New Orleans attack. One last quick thing on the red – actually, two real quick. One is one of the pair of cameras was installed wrong, right? Davis and Fairfield was supposed to be the east-west, and it got installed as north-south. That's not a city error. That's a vendor error?
That's correct, yeah. Okay. As a matter of fact, I believe we noticed that because I was driving on and I said, why are those cameras this way? And we've never talked – and it goes back to that – and I think this reinforces – where we selected was meticulous. It is not just saying, hey, that's an intersection problem. It's an approach problem. So we drilled all the way down to not just saying we think Fairfield and Davis is an issue. What we're saying is there is a significantly higher occurrence of red light running east and west on that. So
same at Fairfield and 9th. It's not just, it's not north-south, it's east-west.
Correct.
That's the key.
So we're picking and choosing. Our goal isn't to just put them up for the sake of putting them up. Our goal is to pick the places over a decade plus of time that we know for a fact are huge problem areas for us.
And by the way, that is part of this. It's a study. This is a pilot program to see how it works, but it is historical data of crashes, historical data to the degree it's possible of red light running.
That's correct.
But then comparing that with what we get in the warning phase, comparing that with what we get over time at these approaches when we're actually issuing the tickets. No, I agree with all of that. The other thing that so they're going to reorient. They're going to do
that. That's correct.
Yeah, I'd seen the same thing when I was driving, and I thought it was the other way. Anyway, the other thing that I just want to make sure that we talk about before we do anything else is what happened in New Orleans, horrible. You talked about it extensively yesterday. I thought your comments were exactly on target, that this is, you know, after Columbine and certainly after Parkland, you know, we dramatically changed how we do school safety. After 9/11, we dramatically changed how we do airport safety. After Bourbon Street, not that this was the only attack of this type, but it was the one that happened here in America. We are in every city across the country dramatically changing how we do street safety for events. And we already, PPD already has access to these sort of physical impediment devices from FDEM that will stop a car and can be brought away. 18 of them in Panama City we have access to, but they're devoting like 54 of them to our county, right?
That's correct. Yeah. And that was already in process. And so when that takes place, then both Escambia County or neighboring counties, as well as the city, will have access. That would put a big dent in all of the, you know, overall analysis need that we would have.
And you know, they can be purchased as well for about $6,000 a piece, something like that.
Yeah, so, yeah. You know, we got another price a little more, but yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it's a combination of, well, how many municipalities are going to want these? You don't necessarily want to have to be shipping them all over because that's inconvenient. But these will dramatically enhance the ability to make street events in Pensacola, whether it's parades or whether it's Seville Square or anywhere else, more safe on sidewalks, because that's exactly what these things are designed to do.
Yeah, exactly. And listen, this should be the point of the city of Pensacola is everything changed on January 1st. And so that doesn't mean our parade plan isn't good. It doesn't mean our festival plan isn't good, or that we don't have awesome law enforcement officials helping us with that. But the bottom line is we are looking at this world through a new lens, as we should. And I believe is the job 1, 2, and 3 of this position that I'm in, more important than Baptist or American Magic or parking or anything else you want to talk about. None of that matters if we aren't a safe community. So we should be, and we are, reanalyzing everything.
Yeah.
Not how we've always done it, or the parade route's been this way for X decades. Let's look at everything. Now, we may change it something. We may not change something. We'll look at that. But we have to look at this through a completely new lens now.
Absolutely. And, you know, we'll come back to this in just a second because we have other questions on this, and then we'll get to your text. John Pickens has Traffic on the Fives. John?
Brought to you by Generator Source, powering Pensacola's businesses with industrial generators to commercial backup systems with the most trusted brands. Expert installation and 24/7 support. That's Generator Source. .com. No accidents to let you know about, but if you're traveling on I-10 eastbound, I'd say from the 9 Mile exit all the way through Pine Forest, we're seeing some major backups there, about a 15 to 20 minute delay in that area. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Five.
Thanks so much, John. Back to just event safety for just a second, because I know this is such a big thing on people's minds. You mentioned it yesterday, but it's fair to mention that Big events, you know, like Palafox is one thing. We've done a fair amount to be able to protect that. Seville Square is essentially unprotected, other than the trees, you know. But you said this yesterday, that places like that or other places around the area that might have vulnerabilities, it may become less convenient because we're going to be treating events in those places differently.
Right. And let's use an example everybody can understand who's been down for a parade or anything like that. Let's talk about Main Street. During a parade, that is a difficult navigation. Main Street is between our police. You got floats coming off. You got that's a choke point of traffic.
Yeah.
A choke point of pedestrian traffic. And if you were a bad actor, probably a ripe area that you'd be looking at.
And by definition, has to allow vehicles because it's the floats.
Right. Correct. And so we ask ourselves, we shut down the roads 2 hours before a parade. Is that enough to have people inside the box of ultimately where pedestrians are freely moving?
Right.
Does it need to be sooner? I mentioned in the press conference yesterday, what right now on ordinance, we need to update it where we can tow a car well ahead of the parade out of Palafox Street.
Yeah.
Right now, we kind of do the courtesy way, which is like we look up the license plate and see, hey, Andrew, come get your car. Can you help us out? I don't know that that's the world we live in reality.
Right.
And we need to be able to get that car well in advance of people lining up and all of those things. So that's what I mean. It's not that, hey, this happened in New Orleans. What we have is insufficient. What it is we woke up on January 1st with a completely different rubric as to what we should consider public safety. And I think every mayor in the country did. And so what I'm telling, and I've got a column on P&J right now talking about some of the details of that, but what you should expect from this administration is we are going to adapt to the number one, two, and three job of this administration, which is public safety. And that might mean an extra road close. It might mean extra inconvenience as the memories fade of how we feel right now about New Orleans.
Right.
It'll go back to inconvenience, but I just hope that we have the grace and understanding of people that, and we don't know what these changes are going to be. I'm letting the experts figure that out.
Right.
But the bottom line is there will be some change, and there will be some change in behavior, some inconvenience for some of these major events. But we're doing it because that is our job. And it's more than nostalgia, more than convenience is safety.
And just to also add to the conversation what you said yesterday, which is I'd ask the same question of the police chief when we had him on last week, but we're redesigning Palafox. Of course, all of this will be part of that conversation.
Yes.
It'd be crazy to put $5 million into a street redesign and not consider sidewalk bollards or whatever needs to be the right solution.
Correct.
For this. And the other thing is, just because it turns out to be this insane thing, we found out that the new bollards they're putting in on Bourbon Street are really only rated for a 10-mile-an-hour impact for an accidental gas pedal press. I'm assuming that we'll be doing something more robust than that.
Yeah, we're going to look at all that. A lot of is what the infrastructure that goes in. And understand, bollards, there will be nowhere in this city, whether they're 10-mile, 20-mile, 80-mile, there'll be nowhere in the city that we're going to leave bollards alone. In other words, we're going to have police presence.
Right.
You can't just trust the bollards being there. So there might be in some – my guess, Andrew, to your question is we'll probably have a combination of a lot depending on the intersection, depending on how we protect it. Because bollards are not a be-all, end-all of guarantee. It's supposed to slow someone down. It's supposed to deter them. It doesn't necessarily need to stop every potential option because of other security measures that you have in place. So we'll see what that looks like. But we will absolutely be evaluating and balancing between, which intersections need what level of intensity of safety.
All right. I'm going to give you a couple of texts here. Okay. One is more of a thank you. Says, thank you for having the four-way stop crosswalks repainted at Jefferson and Intendencia by Southtown.
Yes.
That assists in pedestrian safety. Can you please repaint the two pedestrian crossings across Tarragona at Church and Zaragoza? I would say also the ones on Main Street have been a long, lingering, neglected visibility issue. Many cars go back and forth there, and at night it's very hard to see. I mean, it's one thing if the cars can see them and don't obey, which is its own problem. It's another thing to make sure that they at least can see them, right?
Let me give a 10-second kind of nerd out on the technical aspects of that. Number one, yes, we will absolutely look at those. We'll get those listed if our folks are listening right now. It's the difference between stamped concrete is what you look at. So
sure.
It looks like pavers,
yep,
but it's actually the road. those wear out much quickly. So just so you know, when we're looking at hashtag on Main, when we're looking at the new Palafox, that will not be taking place. We will be putting actual pavers in the ground that give them much longer lifespan, much easier to see. It's a change in material.
Looks nicer.
It looks way nicer. So this administration is not installing any more stamped concrete. But it's what you're seeing is basically, it's road, it's asphalt.
Right.
It's just been painted a different way, and we got to go back and repaint it. So, yeah, we'll get on this.
A ton of your texts. We'll get to as many of them as we can. The mayor's going to be here till 8:30, so we have some time. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. Seeing no accidents to let you know about. But if you're traveling I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and the Pine Forest exit, and a little bit past that, you're going to see some major traffic delays through that construction zone, about a 15 to 20 minute delay associated with that. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
If you've got a plumbing issue, a leak, a drip, a weird sound in the wall, or, you know, you fix something and now you need somebody to actually fix the thing that you fixed badly, self-confession, call Barbary Plumbing. They'll come out and take care of it with flat rate pricing by the job, not by the hour, and they were great fixing my non-fix. 477-8782 for Barbary Plumbing.
If you're struggling with ED or your performance is down and your belly fat is growing, listen up. You've got one life. Now is the time to act.
At Wave Men's Health, we're not just healthcare. We're your secret weapon. Don't wait another day. Here's why you need to act right now.
Every moment you delay, your condition could worsen. It's not just about sex. It's about your heart, your relationship, your life.
Wave Men's Health has years of proven results for low testosterone and increasing drive, energy level, and performance. We've introduced ED and enhancement treatments so exclusive, you'll wonder why you waited.
Procrastination is the thief of time. When it comes to your sexual health, you can't afford to wait. Join the league of gentlemen who've walked out of our doors with a swagger.
Call Wave Men's Health at 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Book your $99 male performance consultation now, including blood work. Call 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Wave Men's Health, making it happen.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 92% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for spring semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. That's pensacolastate.edu to learn more.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider. Right now, offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WER-TV, News Radio Team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
All right, all right, all right.
Good morning, 7:58 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Mayor D.C. Reeves is here in studio with us for 1 hour radio town hall, taking your questions via text at 437-1620. You're losing fellow mayors. I mean, we just lost the mayor. Century resigned last night, and we had Alicia Johnson, I think, is the person who is now the interim mayor. And Century, I'm not going to ask you to weigh in, but I just think Century needs to be disincorporated. That's really the only viable alternative, in my opinion. But okay, back to Mayor D.C. Reeves. One of the questions we got is, can you update us on the graffiti bridge warning system?
Yes. So we, during the first quarter of this year, construction will begin, and we were clustering a few different things. The train trestle pedestrian walk under, the paving of that much needed paving of that boat launch parking lot,
right,
and the warning system, because it needed a new curb line. You can't put a warning system 5 feet from the bridge,
right?
You know, so you need to have enough curb line, which doesn't exist right now. So point is there's three to four, and then the boardwalk on the north side. There's actually four different elements.
And the work on the pier, which is coming, which just have to accommodate that. Make
correct.
Sure we're not building something that then gets torn up by trucks driving over,
that's
whatever.
Correct. But Q1 next year, in this quarter, we will begin construction.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. When is work on Bay Bluffs Park going to start? We got 10 seconds.
10 seconds. It will start during this year, but there's a council item going to the council right now to approve our partnership with Conservation.
All right. We'll be back with more from Mayor D.C. Reeves. Your texts and answers coming up next until 8:30.
Listen.